Turn now to Joshua, the first chapter of Joshua, where we've been studying. And we'll read verses 5 through 9 of Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And here we go. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now we've studied concerning Israel coming out of Egypt, which is a type of the world. Crossing the Red Sea, coming down to Mount Sinai, going up and wandering in Kadesh, because when God showed them the land, they were frightened. Fear is a terrible handicap in the kingdom of God. And that's why in Revelation 21, verse 8, of all the sins that keep us out of the New Jerusalem, the first one that's mentioned is timidity or fearfulness. And while we don't regard that as a particularly horrible sin, the Bible does. Because you see, if we're fearful, fearfulness and unbelief go together. And if we're fearful, we will not serve God. And Israel did not serve the Lord, and so great was his, you may say, to go up here after they'd been in the wilderness for 2 years. They sent 12 spies up here. The spies brought back a bad report, and instead of looking to God, they looked at the enemy, and God was very angry with them and sent them back to wander around Kadesh Barnea for 38 additional years until all the men of war of that generation had passed away. And then they went up, finally, after 40 years from leaving Egypt, they came up and stood at the brink of the Jordan River. This is the Mediterranean Sea. This is the Persian Gulf down here, and this is the Euphrates that's mentioned in Joshua chapter 1, verse 4. Their actual land of promise went from the river of Egypt, not the Nile, but the Wadi El Arish, which was over in here someplace, from here all the way to the Euphrates, from Lebanon, from Lebanon to the wilderness, which includes this whole area where they were, and then in the east to the Euphrates, west to the Mediterranean Sea. This whole area, the whole
most of what we now call the Middle East, and maybe all of it, was given to the Jews. As far as I know, that was never rescinded. But they never were able to hold it. They didn't go in with enough strength and courage in the beginning, and they were fought so hard, they never really got it. David did the best, but then they lost it because of sin, and to this day are squeezed into a little area here in Jerusalem. And even today, the nations of the world, we have a new wave of anti-Semitism, they say. The world seems to just hate the Jews without reason. But it's the devil is behind that. Because God, the Father, loves Job and Abraham and Jacob and these men so much. And God doesn't change. He's a spirit. He's not a person like us. He doesn't change. That still in the mind of God is his love for the Israel after the flesh, the nation. Don't ever, I hope our nation never makes the mistake of putting down Israel for whatever reason, because if they do, they will be confronted with God the Father. Because Romans says they are beloved for the Father's sake. And no matter what we do in the church, which is the true Israel, the Jews after the flesh, the nation, is still loved of God because of the fathers. Because that's the way God is. He doesn't change. And the names of the 12 tribes of Israel will be in the New Jerusalem. God just does not change. Praise the Lord. I am the Lord. I change not. And so, they were brought up here. And as we've pointed out, we have, most of us, been saved. We've come out of Egypt. And then we have learned something about sin. See, the Jews in Egypt were not dealt with according to their sin. But they were dealt with according to their sin when they got as far as Sinai. Now, in the church, there are two works of grace which have been preached. The Methodists and the Nazarenes preached salvation and sanctification. And in Pentecost, we preach salvation and the baptism. But in the plan of God, there are not two works of salvation, but three. None of the types show two works. They all show three works, all of them. Two is not the number of redemption. Two is the number of the power of the Holy Spirit in bearing witness. That's how the number two is used, the two wave loaves of Pentecost. But redemption is in three great stages. And most of us have been saved, and we have, God has dealt with us according to our sins. But we are heading up here to the third great work of grace, which will be necessary if God is to accomplish his purposes in the earth. And as we've said for two or three times running, it is death to self, and the symptoms of it are a sense of imprisonment. Whereas in salvation, you're in waters to the ankles and are able to splash around pretty much. In Pentecost, you're in water to the knees, but you're still able to exert your own will, bless God. But when you get into death to self, God has his ways of enclosing you. And you will look at that enclosure and you will blame God and you will blame people. But I'm here to tell you, and blame the devil, it isn't people that are causing your distress. It is God. And he is closing you in so that in the future you will not charge off in seven directions at once, but you will wait for his voice and learn to obey the Father. Praise God. Death to self is just obedience. That's all it is. Self, even with the anointing, we run around half-cocked, not sure what we're doing. But as God brings us into death to self, we learn obedience to the Father. Obedience. That's what the church lacks today. The churches of Christ in America are undisciplined. We are undisciplined. We do whatever we think we should do. But that's not the Christian way. The word that's used consistently in the New Testament, doulos, where Paul says a servant, and it's used so many times, is actually a bond slave. And the true Christian is a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Paul got into trouble teaching that in one place, Paul Dillinger. People said, we don't teach our children to be slaves. Well, that's our attitude. Don't tell me, you know. But we go by what the Word says. And the Greek word should be rendered bond slave. Bond slave. We are bond slaves of Jesus Christ. Say, well, I'm too proud to be a bond slave. Well, that may be true. So the next step is to get humble. Because Jesus is not about to put up with your shenanigans or mine. What he said will stand, and he'll find the people who will say, yes, Lord, and no, Lord. Praise God. So we're coming to obedience to God and obedience to Christ. And we are their slaves, not in a negative sense, but in the sense that Christ owns us. You see, we are not our own. We have been purchased with a price. We need to learn that. We are not our own. And salvation does not exist for our pleasure. It exists for God's pleasure. Whether salvation brings us happiness or not is quite immaterial. The only thing that matters is that our life brings God happiness. Not our success, God's success. We were created for God's glory. He wasn't created for our glory. And that's the essence of what has gone wrong in the charismatic mood, is that we do not understand that God does not exist for our pleasure. We exist for God's pleasure. And our lives, every one of us, is absolutely expendable. And if God told one of us to go to India, to go to some place, and we got there and were there a week and died, it does not matter. That's the way wars go. And we are absolutely expendable to the purposes of God. And the sooner we get that attitude and cease from the outlandish and wretched attitude that we have in America of we're going to do what we want to and use the gifts and exercise faith and get rich and all this, as soon as we recognize that it's Antichrist and deny it and denounce it, and seek for the old paths of God, the way the blood-washed have always walked, as slaves and servants, if you will, of the Lord Jesus, doing His will, and die to King Self, the sooner we'll be ready to go into the Lamb. Is that good preaching? Well, I think it's according to the Bible, to the best of my knowledge. So, here we are. We're up here at the Jordan River, and it's a new generation, and a lot of us aren't a new generation. We don't know the old ways, the old camp meetings of salvation, or even the harum-scarum days of Pentecost. We come in maybe in the charismatic move, and we know how to take notes, we know how to learn, we know how to study, and we believe the Lord, and we know how to praise the Lord, and those are all wonderful and necessary things. But as Brother Ellenwood said so wisely, in Pentecost we got our scars and then our medals. In the charismatic move, you start off with your medals, and then the scars will come later. And so we do find that as soon as they crossed Jordan, that they had to be circumcised, because you see, the new generation hadn't been circumcised. And I think our generation has not been circumcised in heart to a certain extent. We're not used to the rigors of the Lord. And sometimes we don't raise up our children with the attitude the greatest thing in life is to go and give your life for the gospel. Praise the Lord. But it's, oh, I want my children to have the best. Hogwash. We want our children to serve God. That's the best. Praise the Lord. We don't want to repeat our mistakes. The Baptists have done it in time past, and we need to get that attitude, get circumcised of the heart. All right, now, here we are. And we find in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, we've spoken about this in Joshua 1:3. You can't, and by the way, we go into the land which God gives to us. Verse 2, we don't just pick out our own inheritance. Say, oh, I want to go to, imagine Israel if they said, well, this tribe wants to go and settle in China, and that tribe wants to go up into Scotland. No, we go to the land that God has given us. We don't say, oh boy, what'll I get by faith today? We say, God, where do you want us to go? See, there's a land that is destined. There's a land for you uniquely and for the body of Christ as a whole. There's a land tailor-made for you. There's an inheritance where you fit, where you belong. And the only way you can find that is by really getting in there and hunkering down and seek the Lord. You'll never get it floating around in the world. And we spoke about that terrible deception, one of passivity, but the second one, which is perhaps more common in our culture, is the deception of, well, the Lord hasn't spoken to me and I don't know what to do, so I'll go involve myself in work in the world, or I'll go to college, or I'll do this or do that. And while those things are good and they have their place, what you have to watch out for is pretty soon you have no time to pray and seek the Lord, and that is a deception. That's a deception. God has not called us to be prominent in the world. He has not called us to make a success in the world. Our business as saints is to pray and seek the Lord. We have to work, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, and I'm not saying we shouldn't go to school. I'm saying that when you do, just recognize that you are in a dangerous place. You are in the enemy's territory, and I know their blandishments, and I know it's welcome, welcome. Listen, I've been there. I've been in that milieu for many years. I know how that operates. We're simple of heart, and we don't pray enough, and so we get conned into this. That's, you're in enemy territory when you're in the world. Remember that. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And so that's as bad as passivity. Passivity is one mistake, waiting to get moved about like a puppet and going and trying to make the Christian life like a medium, a fortune teller. When the Lord comes in and floats in and speaks, then the knocking start. Well, Christians do make these mistakes. We do make these mistakes and wait for the Lord to, quote, we become an empty vessel, which there's no way to do. God hasn't called us to be empty vessels. We're not mediums. And the other mistake that we make is say, well, the world is my oyster. I'll just go out, and then if God wants to use me, he'll use me. See, you see what he says? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. So you have to do the walking. God isn't going to do the walking. He doesn't say every place that the sole of my foot shall tread. Every place that the sole of your foot shall your feet shall tread, don't you see? So there has to be an interaction between God and man. And if there's anything more difficult to grasp and to put into practice, I don't know what it is. And Bob Marley and I have talked about this at length because it is not an easy concept to present. There's two great gulfs on the side of the truth, warps in space. And if you get close to one, you get sucked into it. And if you get close to the other, you get sucked into it. And to walk that middle road takes prayer and knowledge and experience. And the one gulf is, God's going to do it all, and when he speaks to me, I will serve him. And the other gulf is trying to do it all yourself. You know, God has told us to save the world. You'll be a nervous wreck. Huh? It's like trying to clean up the cellar. You don't know where to start. You just stand and look around, kind of a spin. I don't know if you've ever had that happen. All right. But that's the way it is when you go to save the world. As soon as you start, you don't know whether to work with the hungry or the illiterate or the gospel or what in the world. There's a great big world facing you. And you can really scramble around for a while. And you see, what we say then is, well, if I'm not supposed to go out and do something, and if I'm not supposed to not do anything, and if, or, you know, what am I supposed to do? Well, what we are supposed to do is to keep hot for God, but don't trot for God. In other words, don't try to, what shall I say? It's after a while, you get so you know how it works, but it's hard to put into words. It's a cooperation between man and God. Where you spend, when you get up in the morning, if your main thought is, oh boy, I've got two jobs to do today and there's this and that and the kids and everything else, you've started the day wrong. You're whipped. You're in the world. See, you're in the world. You said, what I'll do was, if God hasn't called me, and Brother Thompson says, don't rush off into something prematurely, so I'll just occupy until the Lord speaks to me. But that occupying gets humongous. Pretty, because in our culture, you take any little old job and pretty soon it's a professional career. It isn't like it is in more primitive cultures where you could say, well, I'll go out and work in the fields until the Lord tells me what to do. Boy, today you get involved in something and they want your body, soul, spirit, and blood. See? So we're in a treacherous situation. No, we don't charge out because we don't know what our particular calling is. On the other hand, we don't say, well, the Lord hasn't spoken to me, so I'll go into the world, because what will happen is you'll dry up like a prune spiritually. And the worst thing is you won't know it. You will not realize it because it comes so slowly. But when the devil gets ready to get you, he'll wake you up someday and say, you're mine, and you go to pray and your power will be gone like Samson. And you'll say, what happened? Where have I been for the last 20 years? And you thought the Lord was with you and you were dead wrong. What did you do wrong? The Bible says, in the day that you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found. You weren't seeking the Lord. You say, well, I don't want to seek the Lord unless he uses me. Listen, anybody can be a great apostle, pray like a great apostle, so long as you're being used. But the character of the situation is to serve God year after year, not being used in any obvious way, and yet praying and living as though you were. And that's the difficult, and that's what takes character. To fight boredom, which is one of the most tremendous castles in the Pilgrim's Way, is to be able to live with boredom. I've heard people say, I don't want to be bored, I want to be where the action is. Well, sure, you hear a little kid say, I won't play in the sandbox either unless I can use my fire truck. That's about the level at which we're operating when we talk like that. We don't talk like that. It doesn't matter whether we're being used or whether we're anything. All that matters is that we are in the center of God's will, and that takes praying and seeking every day. You see, even when you're not used. Maybe God, you know, a mechanic has inside calipers, specialized tools. He has pliers that he uses every day. Some people are pliers. Some are inside calipers. You don't use them once maybe in 5 years. The way you don't need to know the dimension inside of a cylinder. Very rarely used tool. You just keep it oiled on the shelf, so when you need it, you've got it. But the pliers you've got in your hand every day if you're a mechanic, but not inside calipers, unless you're working on a horizontal boring mill or something. And that's the way people are. Some are pliers. God just uses them all over the place. And others are inside calipers. And when that big job comes, God doesn't want it rusty and lost. He wants it ready so that when he can use it, it's there. Shiny, accurate, perfect in its place. Now that takes character. That takes a willingness to pray like a saint and yet appear to the church as though you're nothing special. It takes death to self. And many times the people that are used all the time, they wish they were used less. The people that are used less wish they were used all the time. And that's human nature. Let me tell you, the people that want to preach, they got the preacher's itch. Boy, that's something to see. Oh, I've got to preach. God is calling me to preach. I heard a person say one time, they'd do anything if God would just let them preach. Oh, to get to preach. That's what you call a lust for preaching. And it's just as great a lust as any other. I'm dead earnest. People get a lust for preaching and it about kills them. I don't know. It's just something that you just get. And other people don't want to speak in public. Huh? I could name a few in this congregation, but I can come up here, you know what they do? Run out the door. Or pass over into a faint. Now, both of those are errors in our psyche, you see. God doesn't want us to where we're unwilling to show our face. On the other hand, he doesn't want, oh, God, if I could just speak. God has to work in us until we're ready to sit in the last seat, in the front seat, to be invisible, to be used like a pair of pliers, or whatever. And that's a comfortable place to be. But it takes a lot of suffering to get where we don't care. But while we're getting there, we're not to get involved in the world, because then God will not speak to us. We say, I know when the Lord speaks to me, I'll go to Nagaland, or I'll go to Yemen, or I'll go to the jungles of South America. We're dreaming a crazy dream. God isn't going to come into your bedroom with a rainbow and an angel on each side of the rainbow and say, now your day has come. I am going to make you a great apostle. And from then on, all you do is just kind of float while everything clicks into place. It doesn't work like that. What you have to do is be seeking the Lord. And as you seek the Lord, things may not change for a week or a month or a year, or they may change dramatically. But in this process of seeking, there comes a time to see when the Lord comes by, what are you doing? You're not all involved in the world. You're waiting on the Lord. You see, your spirit is right. And you're also doing the things that are set in front of you. Because sometimes we won't do the little things. If God would use an apostle, yes, but forget the little stuff. And, see, that's not the greatest either. It's not scriptural, in fact, because we've got to be faithful in the least. And so, that's just human nature. So, we seek God. How long do you want me to seek? 2 months or something? I'm talking about your life. The attitude of your life. What if God never used you until you were 90? Well, look at what happened to Abraham. Oh, yes, but that was Abraham. Or Moses, or the mother and dad of John the Baptist. Do you ever stop and think how many people in the Bible lived a life of unfruitful frustration and then God picked them up when they had no hope? And some of the great glories of God came out of just this type of situation. So God has not called us to burn up the highway saving the world, but neither has He called us to say, well, Lord, when you want to speak to me, I'll go, I'll be obedient, but in the meantime, I'm going to become a psychiatrist. Look, if you decide to become a psychiatrist, make sure God is leading you. I'm not saying don't be a psychiatrist, but make sure God is leading you. Don't just, you know, you can get a default. Somebody was asking me the other day about that, should they go out with girls or something? And my attitude, you know, girls, guns, and cars, you know, they're all loaded. And be careful. Don't mess with girls, guns, or cars unless you're serious. So, anyway, we're talking about this, and we're talking about dating, you know. And I said, well, I'll tell you what dating is like. It's kind of like a guy comes up to a ferry and the thing is getting ready to take off and you think, well, I wonder what this ferry boat is like. And you haven't made your decision that you want to cross, just that you'd like to know what it's like to be on a ferry. And so you get on the ferry boat and you begin to wander around and look at the various aspects of it. And meanwhile, they close the gate and the thing takes off. See, your decision is made for you. You see what I'm saying? In dating, your decision is made for you. Don't start something that you're not willing to finish. Thank you. And that's like it too, you know. You say, well, the Lord hasn't spoken to me to go to Scandahoovia or anything, and so I'll just go to college, you know, to become whatever, a gynecologist or something. Well, just remember that, you know, one thing will lead to another, one thing will lead to another, one thing will lead to another, and pretty soon you're pretty pretty heavy professional life. And so I'm saying don't start anything major unless the Lord is kind of leading you. Let your life be kind of unto the Lord. And that's that kind of middle ground. That's kind of middle ground. Because sometimes by the time you look around the ferry for a while, a gate comes up and you're on your way and you don't know quite how it happened, but it did. And you never even were sure it was the Lord. First thing you know, you've got a lot of commitments and things and momentum is pulling you forward. You've never really made a decision in the Lord. Circumstances made your decision for you. And so, that you know, how can you describe it? It's the death itself is a sense of imprisonment. A sense that, Lord, you mean I've got to wait upon you for everything? Yes. But I'm not becoming a puppet. I will do simple things. If God, you have a feeling you want to go to some country and teach, There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, whatever. If you say, oh, I feel in the Lord, I should go pass out tracts on the street corner. Get your permit and do it. There's nothing wrong with that. You'll never know unless you try it. See? We're not preaching just sit in the church and don't do anything. That's not the message. Might be a good idea if you think God's got something for you. Try it. Just don't burn your bridges behind you. Just try it and see and watch the Lord. And that's how it goes. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. But notice, God is not talking about China or Scotland. He's talking about this area. You've got to be going in the direction that God wants you to go. You can't say, well, this is what I'd like. Let's see, what'll I like? And yet, sometimes there's a place for that if God doesn't tell you. Sometimes you just have to make up your mind and do something. But when you're doing it, if God brings you to a standstill, and when you're doing it, and you just say, well, I'm going nowhere, and I've got to make a decision, make your decision in the Lord, and just say, well, Lord, I've got to make a decision. You can't steer a ship when it's anchored. You've got to get it out there before you can steer the thing. Now, this is the path that I'm going to embark on, and I want you to steer me. Close doors, open doors, lead me, but I'm going to take a step. And then take a step and watch the fruit of it. Just want, observe the fruit. Is it bringing forth good fruit? Am I still in the presence of the Lord? If it seems like the Lord is leading you, take another step. It may be that you'll start out west and end up going east, but you'll get somewhere in the Lord. So it isn't a case of not doing anything. Neither is it a case of becoming a medium. Neither is it a case of sidetracking yourself in the world and becoming all involved in the world, because that will you can lose your soul doing that, see, without realizing it, just an inch at a time without you being aware of it. So this Christian life is tricky and it's treacherous. And you have to pray. And you have to watch in the Spirit. And you have to present your body a living sacrifice. You have to assemble with the saints. You have to give diligence to enter the rest of God. Arise. See, arise, go over this Jordan. You have to bend your legs. Some people are waiting for God to move their feet. God will not move your feet. You have to do that. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And then he goes into a description of the land of promise. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the way over here, the way to the east of Jordan, as their eastern boundary. All the land of the Hittites, the great Hittite empire that they dug up recently was all up in here. A lot of the tribes came out of that tremendous civilization, the Hittites. They thought for years, the higher criticism, there were no such people as the Hittites. Now they've dug up and found the great Hittite empire. Bible's always proved out right. And under the great sea, that's the Mediterranean, to the west, or the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Now, God had promised this same thing to Abraham. It's back in Genesis. I'll find it offhand. It's around verse 15 or so. It's where God was making his promise here. All right. It's in Genesis 15, Genesis chapter 15, I think it is, verse 16, Genesis 15, verse 16, Genesis 15, 16. But in the fourth generation, Abraham, God speaking to Abraham now concerning his descendants, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. That is, they shall come to where you are, Abraham, which is in Canaan. See? They're going to go down into Egypt, but they're going to come back to Canaan. Remember that. Remember that. Abraham was wandering in the land of promise. Don't you see? He was wandering in Canaan. And that was his land of promise. He was wandering in here, living in here in tents with Isaac and Jacob. And he says, I'm going to send your seed down here into Egypt. After four generations, they shall come back again. He already was in the land of promise. Do you see that?
As we get into what the land of promise is, you realize why I'm stressing this point. He already was in the land of promise, but he couldn't possess it. There was a time scheduling to God. There was a reason why he couldn't have it. He says, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, that is back into the land of promise, as we're reading in Joshua, and this is the reason, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And so for 2,000 years, the Christian church has been wandering in the earth as Abraham in the land of promise. But this earth is our inheritance, and we won't be able to get into this much today, but we already are in our land of promise, but we're living in tents. That is, we have no certain dwelling place. We are just wandering in our land of promise as in a strange land. And the reason for that is because the tares haven't come to maturity. The sin of the world has not yet come to the ripeness that God is looking for. Now, if you think we've got bad times today, you haven't seen anything compared to the rebellion against God and the self-love and the moral filth that will develop before God is ready to destroy the devil. Our world, I've seen it change since I was a boy terribly. If I thought about it, it'd fret me till I was beside myself. It is changing at an accelerating pace. And your children will be lived in a society that is doing worse than it is today, murdering the unborn and debauching children and perverting everything that's decent. This will increase logarithmically, and with their children, your grandchildren will be worse, because the tares are coming to maturity. We cannot invade the earth until God says so. Until God sees that the iniquity has come to the fullness that God has required. Now, do you see the great danger of the church gaining the idea that we're going to go out and do this? You see, all this nation is without the gospel. God knows it would break your heart. Look at little Lithuania. The last report on Lithuania, it seems that the government has successfully removed every sense of religion. Now, I may be wrong in that. I'm sure there's an underground there. I don't know that there is, but there probably is. But the people from the documentary I saw have become bland. There's no sense of religion. Out of Lithuania, in Eastern Europe, in regions that heretofore, Latvia, the Latvian region, Estonia, and the east part of Europe that borders on Russia there, along with further in the Poles and so on, the Czechoslovakian, Hungarian people, Yugoslavian people, traditionally have been strong Christian people. And you can look at this and look at Scandinavia, where there's a little revival, thank God, and you feel, oh, something's got to be done. But you see, and there should be, and we should feel that way. But there's a bigger stake here, and that is that God knows what he is doing. People, God knows what he is doing, and he knows where he wants his witness. And you can feel the power of God working in America. We are heading up in America towards certain discrete actions of God. It isn't going to be just happenstance, or maybe we'll have an earthquake, or maybe we'll have a volcano. God is doing certain things in our nation to accomplish certain purposes. It's not random. It isn't just due to geological factors. God can delay or accelerate geological factors any time he wants to. Praise the Lord. And it isn't a case of our just saying, oh, well, we'll pray a little prayer. God is looking at our nation and what it's doing. And God has one central purpose in mind. And that is found in Romans in the 8th chapter. Listen, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And that's talking about the elect, the members of the body of Christ. Now, every event of history, every person that has ever lived, every animal and everything and every force of nature is moving according to one single plan. And that plan is to bring forth brothers in the image of Jesus. And when God gets that thing done, then the end will be here. And God will do away with the present heaven and earth, because that is why they exist. And if you listen to the prophecy this morning, what it was saying, it is not that we go here or go there that is important. It is important that God, that we get pressed into Jesus Christ, into God, because that is why God permits the sin and debauchery and perversion to go on. Because out of this dunghill He is bringing forth His elect. And that is the reason for the existence of the world. You'd never know it from watching the television or the newspaper. It seems like, oh, this man has done something, or that star has done something. Its only purpose that it has is your perfection. All things And that's why in Isaiah, God says, I gave nations for your ransom. I gave nations for you. For whom? For His elect. And as it said in the prophecy this morning, it is not, and let me sum it up, and this wasn't said, but I think I'm not missing the concept. It is not what we do that is of supreme importance. It is what God is making us. Because when God gets us to where we are in the image of Jesus and have died to the world and sin and self, when God accomplishes that perfect work in a body of people, He can press them into Jesus and fill them with His glory, and then the revival is on. And it is moving according to a specific plan. He didn't say to Abraham, oh, your seed are going to sin and go into Egypt. Oh, Abraham, you belong here. Your seed should never go out of here. God said, your seed is going to go down into Egypt. And that came about by a famine. And He said, in the fourth generation, I will bring them here because I'm not ready to destroy the Amorites. In other words, the perfection and inheritance of Israel depended on the state of sin of the Philistines, of the Canaanites. And so it is today that many times Christians go out and they sally forth and they get into a conflict with the government and they get into a conflict with all kinds of people because they're not getting the way thing done the way I want it. Well, sometimes we do get in conflict with the government. We see that in Acts. That's true. But there's another thing that has gone into Christianity, that we see the government out here and we ourselves are fighting the government. That's not the picture. That's not the picture at all. The government exists for our development. What we need to do is get our eyes off what the communists are doing. It doesn't matter. It simply doesn't matter. Or what Antichrist does. Or what the devil does. All that matters is that you are doing God's perfect will. That's all that matters. That's why God is permitting this charade to go on like this. And children to be debauched and perverted and murdered and suffering and weeping and groaning is because out of this cesspool and dunghill, God is raising up people that can't be trained in any other way. It is necessary that offenses come. So, it is not our responsibility to save the world or to detect need or anything of the kind. There are so many needs in the world, if you think about them, you go bananas. Whether it's hunger or medical or for the gospel or whatever it is. You just go crazy thinking. You don't hardly know where to start. But if we will just say, Lord God, You have got us up here. You have brought the church to these experiences in your perfect timing and your perfect wisdom. Now, God, help us to do the things that you want us to do. One, so that we'll witness to the world, and two, so that we ourselves will be ready for the revealing of the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Make sense? That's where we are, people. We're in the hand of God. We are not an isolated phenomenon down here wondering what to do next. We may wonder what to do next, but the truth of the matter is God's hand is on you, and unless you just wrench yourself out of His will through personal ambition or fear or whatever may be the thing, if you would just hang steady, I don't mean stay in this church, I'm not trying to keep people in this church, I mean you and your own relationship to God, if you would just keep on the way that God is leading you and serve Him, you will see, as the Lord lives, people, God will bring to pass everything that He has spoken in His Word. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank You this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. The earth is Yours and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell therein. And Lord, we know that Your hand is upon this world. It is not going out of Your will. In that sense, Lord, it has not been abandoned to Satan. We are not just people down here trying to be like Jesus. But Lord, we know that You have a specific plan, and You have called us according to that plan, and that plan is working to the ant on the ground. And Lord, we are caught up in this mighty purpose of God. And Lord Jesus, You have commanded us to pray and to seek Your face and to do Your will and not to be turned aside by the things of the world. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, just cast from us this day, Lord, all the love of the world. Jesus, oh, saints, I still feel that burden. Oh, we need to just reassert our determination to just come out of this world. We are not of this world. And it is perishing with the using. And God has called us into His kingdom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus, these are Your soldiers here, Lord, the members of Your body. And we need Your help, Lord. We need Your help, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of the Lord. Oh, God, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There may be some here this morning as we're closing, and you feel that you are not in the place that God wants you. Would you just slip your hand up this morning? Is there anyone here? I see that hand, those hands. And I knew it. I can feel in my spirit. Are there any others? I see that hand, all right. I see that hand. All right, saints, we need to just buckle down now. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask these people, if they will, to just stand and the rest with our eyes closed. Amen. Now, let's just consider this. And if it includes you, I want you to stand. We have just got to shake ourselves because our culture is pulling at us so hard. And our lives are so busy, and people, it's not of the Lord. A lot of it is not of the Lord at all. It's our own doing. And we know better because we've been trained from children that our purpose in life is to read our Bible and pray and seek the face of the Lord and find out His will. And there's our culture is militating against that, and God knows what else is. And we must seek the Lord. Is there anyone else? You want to stand this morning and praise the Lord. And we just got have to just shake ourselves. We have to just shake ourselves. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to pray just as these people are standing. There's a number of people standing. I want everyone else praying. It's none of your business what other people are doing. Like the Lord said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You just
get your eyes on your own program. And I have to keep my eyes on my own program. We save our breath to cool our own porridge. And the people are making decisions that very well could determine their eternal destiny. I tell you, the angel went through setting a seal. God said, before he destroyed the city, he said, set a seal on those people that weep and cry for Jerusalem. And if you weep and cry for our nation, as we all are, should be, then you show God, if you're being business with God, then you remain seated. But if you're fooling around, and you're all involved in the world, and you're not praying, you're not seeking God with all of your heart, but are drifting, you need to stand this morning. You need to stand, you and God, and tell the Lord, no more of this, no more of this, no more of this. Now, Lord, you see the people that are standing this morning. Jesus, you see them. I don't. My eyes are closed. God, I'm just concerned, Lord, that none of us miss God's best. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I want those that are seated to agree with me in prayer, as it may be you next week. Now, agree with me in prayer. Now, Lord, we just take dominion. We take authority, Lord, over the distracting spirit which comes upon your people and causes them to continue, Lord, in a leaden state without being able to free themselves from the enormous pressures of our culture, Lord, the endless wearying grind of making treasure cities for Egypt and for Pharaoh. And Lord, we need your help no matter what it takes or what it costs. Lord, we need your help in breaking this yoke. Jesus, we need your help in breaking this yoke, Lord, of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just bind the spirit of the world in the name of Jesus. We come against it. We command it to leave this church in the name of Jesus the Lord. Every spirit of the world, we bind it and command it to leave this church in the name of Jesus the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I pray that for each one of us, Lord, you will do whatever it takes to get us in the place, Lord, where we are serving you. Lord, change our lives, our circumstances, whatever it takes, Lord. Just do something and help us as we cry out to thee, Lord. All the prophets, Lord, are speaking all over the land, Lord, that trouble is coming. And Lord, somehow in our leaden state, Lord, we can't grasp it. And as soon as we hear it, Lord, it's stolen by the devil, it seems. Now, Lord, help us to be intensely alive, awake in the Spirit. And these that are standing, Lord, I pray a special grace. Oh, Jesus, a special grace of purity and of a diligence, Lord, and of determination to seek your face. Lift from us all deception. Lift from us all forms of deception. Lift from us passivity. Lift from us business as usual. Lift from us, Lord, the corporate spirit that all is well and the world will take care of us. The false security, the blindness, lift it from us, O God. Lift it. It's a deception of hell. Lift it from us, Lord. Lift it from us, for we are not ready yet. And we are not alert enough, Lord, to your moving. Oh, God, help us to arise and to go over this Jordan, Lord, as you lead. Oh, God, hallelujah. Help those, Lord, that are standing in a special way. And I plead for all of us for truth, Lord. Wherein we're deceived, Lord, remove the deception. Wherein, Lord, our minds and hearts are not knowing your will, Lord. We've been chipped away at, Lord, till we don't know where we are. God, do something and help us, Lord, that we may be in your perfect will. Jesus, that you will not be ashamed. For they will, even this Sunday, Lord, we'll be before you as your host. Not afraid to live, not afraid to die. Not afraid of anything, Lord, but ready at a moment's notice, Lord, to go and do whatever you say. We wait before you, Lord. We personally and corporately, Lord, say, God, lead us. We will not be encumbered with a multitude of serving, Lord. We want your will. Now work it, Lord. Remember our concern for Brother Raju, Lord, that he might have a scooter, Lord, and his little bicycle or motorcycle that he wants, Lord, and the clothes. Help us to be instant in good works, and every one of us to be ready, Lord, for your call on our lives. And dear Jesus, save us from this untoward generation in which we live, Lord. For I know you're coming to chasten us, Lord, and grant that this congregation will be prepared, Lord. Hallelujah. Not only to be survived, but to help others, Lord, in their hour of extremity. Oh, Jesus, help us. Praise God. Praise God. Shall we all stand then? Hallelujah, Lord. We love you today, Jesus. Oh, God, help us to love not in word only, Lord, but in deed. Help us, Jesus, to show by our lives, Lord. Hallelujah. To show by our lives, Lord, that we love you. Not just words, Lord. Not just coming to church, Lord, and singing how much we love you, Lord. But actually each day being drawn right down to the wire, Lord, that anybody looking at us can tell we're Christians, we're saints, we're serving you, Lord. We are alert, we are informed, we are in the Spirit, Lord. Every member of this church, a prophet, Lord, a holy person, a saint, a soldier, Lord, a cross-carrying Christian, Lord, free from our generation, Lord, free from the worldliness, free from the deception, free from the love of pleasure. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We love you today, Lord. In truth, help us to love you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Avarakahandada. Just no chorus comes to mind, saints. I feel the presence of the Lord. We must stir ourselves. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Let your presence be so strong in this assembling, O God. Come upon every life. Oh, God, walk these aisles. Jesus, confront us with your eyes of fire. Ask in every heart, knock on every heart, Lord. Hallelujah. Inquire and search and weigh in the balances. Jesus, help us, Lord. How long do we have? How long, Lord? How long? How long? God, if we're going to have an earthquake, show it to these people. Show it to your saints. Show it to your people. Make it real to us. Bring us into the realm of the Spirit. Deliver us, Lord, from the world. Deliver us from the flesh. Deliver us from worldly thinking. Breathe upon us the Spirit of prophecy. Breathe upon us intercessory prayer. Breathe upon us discipleship. Jesus, we're weak. Lord, we're encompassed about with the cares of the world. Jesus, lift us up. Pour out on us the Spirit of intercession. Cause us to walk in holy places, free from the world and its pursuits. Jesus, make us real saints. We would not displease thee, Lord. We would not displease thine eyes of fire. Lord, I know you're here this morning. And I know our days are numbered, Lord. And I know you have great purposes for people in this room. Now, Lord, banish the world from our minds. Do it once and for all. Whatever it takes, God. Whatever it takes in us as people, Lord. We love one another. We don't want one another to be hurt or injured in any manner whatever, Lord. We want you to move us all in your Spirit to higher spiritual ground, that we may not become just another church, just another Sunday morning gathering. while Rome burns. My Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes and our hearts and our spirits that we can hear what Christ is saying. And don't allow a single person in this room, Lord, to spend the rest of this day ignorant of thy purposes for his life, but knowing and feeling and experiencing the voice of God. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Praise the Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'd like for someone to volunteer to pray in dismissal, and I'd like you to pray that God will cause his will to be done in every one of our lives this day. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord.
That the things that are being given us, that the Lord in our mind has put in our heart, O Lord God, and the ones who are not in the way of God, in due way, then you can go, Father, that you may just guide and direct them, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord, in the way you see fit to do so, Father, that it be your word, Lord, and that they may know, Lord, that you are the one to bring about what needs to be done on this
Jesus.
Day, Lord, because it is you and her. Father, I pray also, Lord,
that, amen,
Lord, that the things that are being set down here, Lord, that will be given to us, Lord, in a way to them around the body, that they may listen, that they may not, Lord, be ignorant to it, Father, that they may know what the Spirit has to say, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that you will be wrought in all, Lord, that we are short, that you show us, O Lord, what needs to be done in us and through us, Lord.
Grant it, Lord. Amen, we do. We do, Lord. Our very lives. Use them as you will. Nothing in this world we want, Lord. You alone.
Lord, that the Spirit is saying today to us, and that we know what it is, Lord, that we listen and are obedient, Lord, in order that we walk in your way. Help us, Lord. We need
Jesus.
Your help, Lord. We need your help.
Jesus.
Lord, you have in this heart something, Lord, that you think it is right. Let us step out in faith and we'll find out of it is your will.
Yes, Lord. Grant it, Jesus.
Oh God, we pray, strengthen us this day, O Lord. Reveal to us, O Lord, what is coming to us. Make us aware, Lord, that we listen to the voice, the small voice,
Lord. Amen.
That you want us to do, O God.
Amen.
Let it be you, Lord, all the way. All we are interested is in you, Lord.
That's right, Jesus.
You, Lord.
That's all we want. We mean business. We mean business, Lord.
That the enemy who has the throne of the moment will be possessed by the slaves of God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that we throw them down, Lord. That the blood will be over, Lord.
Yes.
That the people may see that thou art God Almighty.
Granted, Jesus.
In the things, Lord, that they may know that the true God have loved. As many as I have loved, I rebuke.
Amen.
That they may understand the wording what is written.
Yes, Lord.
That you'll never be lost, O Father. But Lord, I pray for the congregation.
Help us, Lord. Lord. Amen, Lord.
Listen to what the Spirit has to say to us.
Amen. God bless everyone. Those that can come early to pray tonight, be a blessing. Just keep in a spirit of prayer all day.